Hello.
Yeah, sorry about the confusion about the start time. At the beginning of the week, this was 9:05, I swear. And then it moved slowly to 9:30 and 9:45. I have no control about that. So what we are supposed to start at 9:45, and I think we have a minute or two left. Let me just say some just general words. So this is a Plumbers Conference talk, so we want like to hear your feedback and comments on these things as soon as possible. It just shouldn't be a presentation. And I think we have too many slides for a talk, so we'd like to make this as much interactive as possible. So please speak up and intervene if you see something that interests you or you have objections to. Okay?
Hello? Okay, so let's begin. As Christoph mentioned, it's part talk, part discussion, so we'd appreciate any ideas or reactions to this presentation. And this is a joint talk of me. I'm Guy Shattuck. I'm a senior software architect in Mellanox. And Christoph, who is an individual, but also work for Jump Trading.
Well, yeah, I work for Jump Trading. I can finally say that. 6 months ago, they finally allowed me to reveal my affiliation. And
First rule.
I've been active with the memory management subsystem for more than a decade, and I'm the author of one of the allocators, and I've done a lot of work on NUMA over the years. This talk is about a consistent problem that we have. People want more contiguous memory, and then we have these lots of issues in the VM, and so Guy has a new approach on how to address that, hopefully. Maybe we can use this talk to come up with some better way to handle this situation where we want to have more contiguous memory for more performance.
Okay, so let's start. So in brief, the agenda, we are going to talk about the existing user space memory allocation method, which most of us are familiar with. Talk about the fragmented memory versus contiguous memory and what are the problems in there, which is mainly performance. Talk a little bit about memory pinning, which is quite important for DMA operations. Some of the proposed solutions, some of the suggested implementation, a summary, and finally a discussion. So we are all familiar with the user allocation methods. As programmers, we usually allocate memory by using the stack, the heap, the anonymous memory block, and even the static memory allocation. This is nothing new. And all of those approaches have one thing in common. They're all basically allocating fragmented memory. What do I mean by saying fragmented memory? I mean that once you get to allocate a memory area larger than 4 kilobytes or bigger.
It depends on the architecture, right? So. Yeah, you can get multiple gigs. And actually, this is a particular issue of the Intel architecture that we have complained about for a decade now, that they can't get away from the 4K page size. The ARM processor, ARM 64, has a 64K page size, which allows you higher throughput than Intel at this point. Okay, sorry.
So, as Mike mentioned, we have huge page size, which I'm going to mention in the next slides. But typically, when you're allocating memory, we wouldn't know how fragmented is it. And fragmentation causes some issues. And the biggest benefit of contiguous memory is the fact that there are several pages laid sequentially on the memory. And virtually are the same, virtually and the same physically. Well, in fragmented memory, the user space program sees virtually contiguous memory area, but physically it could be scattered all over the memory. Okay, so one person would argue, why is it bad for us? Why should I care as a user space memory user? It doesn't really matter if it's contiguous or not contiguous. The MMU is doing the work for me, and it's doing it pretty good. And in case that I'm going to do DMA memory transfers, I have the IO MMU. So why should I care? Or why should I bother at all? Well, apparently we should care because it does affect performance. For the next slide, I used Mellanox's most recent network interface card, which is ConnectX 5. We use RDMA transfers. For those who are not familiar with RDMA, RDMA is a short for remote DMA, which means that one machine could access remote machine memory directly without the involvement of the CPU. Basically, it means that a user one machine would access the network interface card of other machine and ask it to either read or write the remote machine memory using DMA. And we did measurement using back-to-back ConnectX-5 system using the following configuration. And I should mention that RDMA allows up to 2 GB message size. And on the blue column, we can see the message size in bytes. And we used 2 approaches, one of which is using a contiguous memory allocator, which we wrote as a internal kernel module. It is not something upstream. And the other approach was simply by using memaline, which is basically some kind of malloc-quit alignment. And we can see that the contiguous pages approach gave us between 20 and 30% increasement. And this is over a single connection, a single QP. I talked to Christoph earlier and told me that by using multiple QP, he was even able to get better performance.
Well, this is you focused on networking. This also affects scatter-gather lists used for disk I/O and things like that. So you can get severe performance constraint when you want to go to even a disk. We want to write, let's say, 10 gigabytes per second to a disk with a striped configuration. And at that point, the performance just breaks down because you have too many of these 4K segments. The I/O controllers only have a limited support of these 4K segments, and so you cannot reach very high sizes of the for requests going to the disk. Actually, in practice, in our environment, we see a breakdown by performance of 25% of what would be possible if you would use larger pages. And we have various workarounds for that, but we'll get to that later.
And I should also mention not only storage, it could also affect the GPUs. The GPUs are being used today to offload the computations. Transferring huge chunks of data uses DMA. So we are talking about storage, GPUs, and networking. And if we were able to allocate contiguous memory area, all of us would get benefit greatly. So, as I mentioned, the main issues are scatter-gather performance issues, which mostly stem from cache hits. For example, assuming that I want to transfer 1 gigabyte of memory. If I broke it down to several, I'm talking right now about small pages, which are scattered all around, then we will not benefit from the cache hits. If all the memory was sequentially, it would be much easier. Accessing a single 4 kilobyte page would make the cache load the following pages and will benefit much better. So the main issue is the cache hits, either from within the network interface card or the device, and also from the CPU. It would be much easier to operate on sequential memory than on scattered memory.
Well, yeah, you just mentioned gigabyte. If you want to transfer a gigabyte using 4K pages, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of 4K units that you have to manage in the kernel. And that is very difficult to do given that we have performance constraints on single CPU performance these days. If you want to do it in a coordinated way between multiple CPUs, you have securitization issues that limit you. So in many ways, you cannot really reach full performance of a very high performance disk subsystem just because you have these 4K chunks to manage.
So when using remote memory access or almost any kind of DMA access, the typical use case is to allocate memory, register on the device, which means we are telling the device MMU or the device subsystem that this memory is allocated for the device, and then the device could access it. And memory pinning is something that we need to do. Unless we do it, the memory will simply swap out or might be migrated. So it is important part of the contiguous memory. There is no use to allocate contiguous memory if it's not pinned. The typical way to do it is to use some kind of subsystem-specific API. For example, in Mellanox API, we have RegMR. And in kernel memory registration, we can use additional API.
Yeah, well, so the pinning here is mostly done to avoid the memory being fragmented again by swap operations or the kernel intervening in some way. So you have to guarantee that the physical location of the page stays constant while you do a DMA operation. Particularly if you do an RDMA operation, you have to keep this constant while you operate on a memory region. The RDMA subsystem implicitly pins all memory that is registered with it. And there are various other things also. If you do disk I/O on a memory range, it is also pinned. So this is a standard requirement. And actually, the pinning operation itself is often the problem, because if you want to do if you want to pin hundreds of thousands of pages, you have to do a pass that takes can take seconds just to make sure that the memory doesn't go away when you finally get to the operation.
Okay, so we talked about the problems and the issues, and now let's talk about possible solutions. So the basic solution that most of us are familiar with is huge pages. Huge pages, or the recently edited giant pages. Huge pages is allocation of 2 megabytes per page, and giant pages is 1 gigabyte. And in order to use it, we would have to use the map huge TLB flag. And it only works if huge pages are available, and in order to make them available, we need to reserve a pool in advance, and it wouldn't work otherwise. And the biggest issue is that if one application was written to take advantage of huge pages, and one application was written without the ability to take advantage of huge pages, we simply have multiple memory pools which are not interconnected in any way. So this is a problem. And what is the advantage? The advantage is that within a single huge page or giant page, the memory is contiguous. Okay, so there is some benefit in here, and there is a downside in here. And there is another issue which I didn't mention in the slide, that if I want something in between 2 megabytes and between 1 gigabyte, I simply can't get it. So that's a problem.
Well, you can take a big one and take uses portions of it. But the fundamental problem with huge page and giant pages is it requires a lot of foreplanning, a lot of detailed configuration of the system, and you need to have someone who is an expert in this in your company in order to make sure this all works right.
Okay, so...
yes.
So people were thinking about the issues, and then they came out with a nice solution, which is called THP, Transparent Huge Pages. Transparent Huge Pages is a mechanism to allocate huge pages on the fly, and the way it's doing it is simple. Basically, what the memory subsystem is doing is running a compactization thread in the background, and it's trying to consolidate or merge several small pages into bigger ones. So we solve the, and in case that we are unable to allocate huge page, we simply allocate smaller pages, so there's no way that the call can fail. More advantages, it doesn't require any root user intervention, and it doesn't require memory pool reservation, which is great. Well, there are disadvantages. The user typically wouldn't know if they allocated, from user space, if they allocated small pages or big pages, unless they use some kind of specific tool for this. And memory continuity is not guaranteed. Even when using transparent huge pages, once again, you use more than a single huge page, you wouldn't know, it could be scattered all around. And finally, it's some kind of performance optimization only. It's not guaranteed to work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay. Yeah, so he was referring to, he wants to have multiple huge pages being contiguous so that you can even eliminate it, have further contiguity. So to keep the huge pages on Intel are 2 meg. So if you do a 1 gig transfer, you still have a huge amount of these huge pages. And if they are all contiguous, then it's much faster for the device to do a single request.
Okay, so let's assume that I wanted to create my own memory allocator using huge pages or giant pages. As mentioned, they might not be configured in the machine. And by the way, even for THP, some of the distributions are not enabling THP by default, some are. And when it is configured, the pool is limited, even for THP. And allocation of multiple huge pages does not guarantee continuity. Once again, I'm going to allocate 8 megabytes of memory unless I have giant pages configured. It's going to cost in the fragmented memory area.
Yeah, so this is actually pretty common in the industry. There's a lot of allocators that just get a huge or giant page, and then in user space you can ask for contiguous memory segments, and they just give you fractions of the giant page or the huge page. And so this is it's a common approach, and it has been replicated over and over again in various private implementations in numerous companies, and there are, I think, at least 10 public ones.
Would you like to
What? Okay, well, this is one curious thing that we discovered recently is that on ARM 64-bit, you actually have a contiguous flag in the page table. So the processor can aggregate multiple page table entries into a single larger one and handle that as a larger size page. So this is the result of that is that ARM 64-bit supports more huge page sizes than on Intel. I think it has 4 or 8. And so this is pretty nice because you have now a choice to also work with smaller ones if you can get contiguous segments of larger sizes. Pardon? Yes, transparent. If you want to have, if you want to make sure that your program really works with full performance, you can't rely on maybe. You want a guaranteed contiguous page there, and this. That's why everybody's still using libhdbfs because you don't want the maybe.
Okay, so there are 3 solutions so far, and finally, someone came out with a solution that does exactly what you want. It is the CMA, or the contiguous memory allocator. Basically, what this allocator means is you need to configure your machine once again and restart it, and it goes to the top of the memory and reserve part it from the top to the bottom. And this part of memory is contiguous. And since in the same case of transparent huge pages, same as huge pages, it might use a pool which is not used by any other machines, by any other processes. So the pages in the CMA are once again marked as the ones that can be reused. So if any other program use all the available memory in the system, so the memory subsystem will allow it to allocate from the CMA pool, which basically means that the contiguous memory is not dedicated to be contiguous. So it's kind of a problem. There is some kind of improvement called GCMA, which basically is an agent trying to allocate part of the memory of the CMA and make sure it's only reserved for programs trying to use contiguous memory. And the two main issues is that once again, we have the memory reservation technique, and the major problem is it's kernel space only. And about 1 or 2 days ago, I spoke to someone, he might be even in this room, who told me that he needed contiguous memory allocation, so he wrote their own kernel module, which would simply translate the call from user space to the kernel space, only in order to use CMA. So why wasn't it possible to use it directly? Why do we have to be able, why do we have to write our own kernel module? Let's open this way of communication, this way of API to the kernel directly.
Yeah, the CMA is only used on ARM and other embedded platforms, I believe. I think the use on Intel is not possible at all or very limited. It shows you that there's a lot of efforts going on to obtain contiguous memory, and especially in an embedded, you have the requirement for getting the full performance from your hardware. So you need something like that, and for the small systems and on Android and stuff, this is very common.
Okay, so far we talked about the issues and the existing solution, and then I thought about this idea and thought about new ways to do it, or maybe old ways to do it, and I assumed that if I was about to propose a new API, no one would like it, so I came out with the idea of, okay, we have the MAP anonymous allocation, let's have a new flag, and as someone who did some innovation in past patents and thesis or so I tried to do some research and see if someone has already done it, and apparently it was done in a very similar manner. There is a POSIX standard dated back to 13 years ago, which uses the same ID, the map contig flag, which basically means once we are trying to allocate memory, we would use this flag and it would instruct the memory subsystem to allocate contiguous memory block.
Well, this is mostly has been used in the past in real-time operating systems. So there is a precedent here for other operating systems having done this. What is very different from what we are used to. If we do an MMAP, usually only the mapping is established, the allocation is not done. if we do an mmap map config flag, we would have to either allocate the memory at that point and make sure that it stays contiguous, or when the page fail occurs, make sure that the page is placed exactly where it should be, which may lead to a defragmentation phase on each page fault, which is bad. But there's some issues there with that idea.
So even to declare CMA, you actually have to call or declare CMA contiguous during the boot up phase. And once you lose that time before the buddy is initialized, you don't have the time at all to again do that again in runtime. So to support map config, how much of memory you really want to put in CMA before you can support this flag at all?
Well, this is not depending on CMA. The idea here is to get contiguous memory from the page allocator by asking for a higher order allocation.
Okay, so then you are still limited by max order of 11, right? That's 4 MB.
Yes, but there have recently been some changes so that you can actually allocate contiguous memory passing over multiple of the max order units.
So as Christoph just mentioned, we have more IDs, not only using the CMA, and one of which is the map config flag, which will use the existing memory subsystem methods. So what we are offering, which I'm about to show in the next slide, is not a whole new API, it's simply a way to abuse the existing API in order to achieve better utilization for user space. So the typical use that we'd like to see is something like MMAP, with the additional map config flag, MMAP works is by lazy allocation, which means once we access, it allocates virtual memory, but not physical memory. On the first time we hit a non-existing memory page, it's going to call a page handler, the no page method, and do the actual allocation. This way wouldn't work for contiguous memory since it's not going to be contiguous. And one way to work around this is using map populate flag, which instructs the memory subsystem to allocate the memory right when you're calling mmap. So the idea is to use the map config flag, which implies map populate. And once we call the mmap, it is going to allocate all the needed memory and is going to make sure it is contiguous and also pin it down so it doesn't move. So contiguous keeps to contiguous.
So the size argument then is your contiguous memory area. So you want that entire size to be contiguous, correct?
That's correct. So they're
before you go on with the map contig, there. What about the shmem, the tempfs, huge?
Okay, so as you can see from the presentation, there are two ways to allocate it, either the anonymous or open. Instead of using open, you could use SHM open.
You first have to deal with your question, right? You were asking about shared memory?
No. The tempfs has a new support for always allocating huge pages.
Yeah.
And it's actually sharing the pages with transparent huge pages. So it's pretty, as long as you have free memory in the system, it can usually find them.
Yeah, but this is only for huge pages, right? We're looking also at larger mappings, let's say a couple of
huge page. Oh,
okay. And also shared memory has supported the huge pages for a very long time. So there are subsystems of the kernel where you do have the at least contiguity in terms of 2 meg. But some these I/O sizes here are often in the gigabyte range, and yes, you can probably use giant pages, but then there's all the various limitations there, right? And it's all awkward to handle, configure, and things what you just said.
Even when using SHM open, you could use the same ID because you get a file handle for SHM open, and you could use this mmap technique, so it should work. So it does not interfere with the solution you mentioned. So let's talk about suggested implementation. And right now I'm not talking about the actual implementation, but how should it behave? Well, the system will try to use the largest available memory blocks to construct contiguous memory area. For example, let's talk about a use case of trying to allocate 3 megabytes. So on supported machine, there is already existing system called alloc pages, which allows us to allocate any order or any order of memory, for example, 4 megabytes. So we could allocate 4 megabytes and keep the contiguous 3 megabytes out of it, and the remaining 1 megabyte will simply split into smaller pages and put pages into the pages pool. So what I'm talking about in here is nothing new. It is possible to do in the existing kernel, but for some way, no one thought about that and it's not supported.
Well, we've thought about it quite a bit. Don't imply that. The problem here is that over time, memory gets fragmented and you will not be able to allocate these large contiguous segments. And also, if you have those segments, this causes more issues for defragmenting memory and for it causes more fragmentation issues. The more sizes you have mixed in a common memory area, the more severe the problem with fragmentation becomes. That is the general experience, and that's why memory management developers have been very resistant to these attempts to do that. I have my own memory allocator subsystem, but I also do the same thing, and I do it in a very limited way because of these concerns here. And this is basically blowing the whole thing up, going to very huge sizes, which can and will cause a lot of fragmentation.
The first one is okay because you actually allocate more than what is required and put it back to the pool. The second one is a problem because you have now two or multiple chunks of contiguous memory and the user never knows about it. You have given the size, you have a buffer, and it assumes that starting from buffer, its size is contiguous. Now you have fragmented it in different places and user never knows about it.
This is an example of what causes immediate fragmentation, right? You should can do this once, but don't do it too many times, because all of your memory will be in these small segments that are left over. And
right, but once you get it, you want to use it for the RDMA purpose or some other purposes, right?
Yeah.
In that buffer to size, you need to know how it is split so that I can use smaller chunks in between, right? If I don't know the split in user space, right?
Well, the allocation guarantees that you have 3 megabytes of contiguous memory now. You don't need to do anything special about that. There's nothing special about that.
If it is a second way, right, where you actually don't get 4 MB, you got 2 MB, and you attempted 1 MB separately.
Okay, so you mean the way you just have to split this thing up?
Right, so there are two different calls. And
yes. Yes, if you cannot get the full contiguous size, then we have a fallback mechanism here, yes.
Okay, but you need to intimate the user space that, you know, this is what happened.
Yes, it's not clear. Maybe you can add a flag. This must be contiguous, or we are willing to accept a fallback. Either you fail the allocation then,
right,
or,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, proc maps is a one place for the user space to actually go and see what really happened, but that's an additional effort.
That's true. But this is the way things work, right? As the system memory gets fragmented, you will be less and less able to satisfy these requests. And if you fail on these allocations, then you cannot guarantee your performance anymore, and the algorithm may still work, but lower performance.
Okay, so there are two typical use cases. The first one and the second one, which is best effort, and we wouldn't like the best effort so much. I believe that the way user would want to use is try to use the new API, and if it doesn't work, use their own memory allocation techniques. And okay, let's move to the next slide.
Okay, there was another suggestion. Can you go back? We already have a compaction pass in the kernel. It focuses right now on generating these 2 meg huge pages so that you can restore contiguity. We could actually have a defect pass improved so that we try to make all virtually contiguous areas also physically contiguous, then we actually may not need this, and we can, and this actually would have benefits for lots of other solutions as well, and lots of other methods where we go across ranges of memory. This is not only affects the RDMA, but also then the prefetch of the processor, for example, because it can do physically contiguous prefetching.
So to sum it up, the suggested implementation are allocate contiguous memory area larger than a single page on support of architecture, which is already supported. And there we have such existing APIs. And in order to use it, as Christoph mentioned, we could improve the existing defragmentation passes to make memory areas as contiguous as possible. And additional suggestions, which are not related to MapContig, we could add user space API for CMA. It already exists on some architectures, so why not enhance it for user space? And other way to implement this AD is to use some kind of MDvice in. THP currently uses MDvice as an in to runs a background process which replaces 4 kilobyte pages into bigger ones. And we could use it to replace 4 kilobyte pages into even larger pages. And I'm not mean larger pages, larger areas of continuity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so far, any question, discussion?
Well, this is not an implementation, right? This is just an existing, a new idea to address old grievances that have been around for decades. We would like to hear your feedback on these approaches.
So the map contig flag approach seems reasonable, but I guess just before the talk you said you don't agree with that approach. So can you elaborate on that?
Well, the problem is again the fragmentation that's caused by this approach, right? So that's why we haven't in the past done this, because if you continuously do this map contig stuff, you create contiguous segments in a space that's dominated by 4K, should be dominated by 4K atomic allocations that are always possible. And this kind of causes a reduction in that, and it causes problems for future requests.
So is your concern that, okay, let's some, the example which he gave of 3 meg and rest of the page is then you're releasing like 4K splitting.
Yes.
Is that your concern?
Well, if you do it with one, you just start the system and you do this one request, it will work. The problem is if you do that in, with multiple requests and continuously, which is the case here could be used in that way, it will then cause a strong fragmentation of memory, and at some point only 4 kilobyte allocations will be possible. We already have that today. If you run a system intensively for a couple of days, you basically reduce the ability of my allocator to get more than 4 kilobytes, and the performance of even the memory allocators will be reduced. So this kind of approach will make that impact even more severe, and we will have a shorter time frame until we get to that situation where the system goes into a state where you can only get these small allocations satisfied, and you cannot reconstruct huge pages anymore. You cannot do transparent huge pages anymore, therefore, and so on and so on. So this has an overall impact of the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, that's true, but I guess there are a number of applications. I mean, he already gave an example. People are already doing it. Because you know there is no support. Some have kernel modules. Some have tried different methods. You said you have some custom.
Yes, right. We just do explicit huge page
right.
Allocation.
So there is a plethora of use cases which needs it actually, right? I mean, you can always say somebody says map contig, and if you can't satisfy, you just fail it. Mm-hmm. That's fine. User, you give a choice to user. Hey, it is not possible. You go back and you know you do another mmap with. Not map contig flag, and that's still fine, but just not supporting.
Currently, we also don't have the ability to map arbitrary page order size chunks of memory into user space. We can do huge pages, giant pages, and 4K pages, right? But there's the provisions for the intermediate sizes is not really there. So there's a lot of issues that would have to be addressed on the VM as well to get this all working.
So what's your alternative? Maybe you can talk about that. You said you have some custom way to do this, right?
Well, it's what we discussed before, right? You have a pool of huge pages and giant pages, and you have created your own allocator in your program that allocates a huge page or a giant page, and then hands out fractions of that as contiguous memory to your application. This requires a lot of planning and configuration of the system, but the memory will be taken away at boot up, so the fragmentation situation later of the leftover memory is not impacted. So the other allocations are not won't degrade over time.
I have one comment and one question. Mm-hmm. So one trick that you can do very, very easily today for any arbitrary amount of contiguous memory that you want, I think the limit is that it needs to be in a granularity of 128 megs, is you load up a PMEM device, an emulated persistent memory device on the kernel command line.
Yeah, but this is a variation of the CMA approach or the dedicated memory pools. There's nothing new here.
But then you have a slash dev slash docs, you load the slash dev dot docs mm-hmm. on it. But then you can divide it.
Yeah, but the tempfs approach is the same thing, right? You have basically put some huge pages in tempfs, and then you can map the files in tempfs.
No, but with the slash dev slash docs, you can do any size.
Okay.
Up to a byte, and mm-hmm. it's always going to be contiguous. It's okay.
Okay.
It's pre-contiguous. Mm-hmm. My question is do you think we can actually eliminate the need? What I mean is, with a scatter gather, a 4K scatter gathers,
yes,
to be just as performant through RDMA as contiguous memory. And the reason I'm asking is because at the end of the day, if I do NFS over RDMA mm-hmm. or Acer or FCOE or any IO mm-hmm. system that goes over RDMA, mm-hmm. that's going to feed in 4K pages. So
yes.
If I'm improving the scatter-gather, mm-hmm. I'm already enabling performance for the majority of RDMA.
Right. Yes, this approach has been around for over a decade now, and the problem is you have to compose the scatter-gather lists. And with 4 kilobytes, you get, and you get in the gigabyte range, you get hundreds of thousands of entries that you have to be composed before you get the request to disk. And since the integer performance of each processor is limited these days, 3.5 gigahertz, we cannot really scale up at that level anymore. So the performance is a problem. And so the 4 kilobyte boundary is a huge issue right now on Intel for us. That is one reason why we are exploring other platforms like ARM, which has bigger page sizes and therefore scale better.
So ultimately, when the pages need to be mapped, you need a translations for those, right? So if you go by 4K granule and you have a 4 gig region, then you need those many translations. So I don't think you can do anything there because you're going to have a lot of cache misses there.
The other thing is the vendors are complaining about having to support extremely large scatter-gather lists, and they impact the performance of the devices and require lots of on-board memory to store these and manage these things. So some of these SCSI devices now run Linux as well. The IMMU, of course, it is often it's for RDMA. It's required, right, for many parts of the functionality there. So it gets even more complex, right? So then the if you could offload the composition of the scatter-gather memory lists from the main processor to the device, that maybe that's something. I haven't looked at that yet.
So with IMMU, you can get fully IOVA contiguous space made out of 4K pages because
yeah.
it's basically de-scattering for you, mm-hmm. and you don't need scatter-gather lists in your device. And so with 4K completely scattered gigabyte storage, you can have it virtually contiguous IOVA contiguous and your device doesn't know.
Well, you still have to do lookups. You have to do page table lookups from the device in order to figure out where the pages are actually in physical memory, and then
the device doesn't know anything. The device knows nothing. You give it a contiguous 1 gigabyte IOVA region, and it says, great, I'll access that, and it needs to scatter gather.
It just means you have contiguous memory. So where is the IOVA? Is that a processor entity? Is it on the device?
It's usually in the root complex of the device, of the CPU.
It's in the device?
It's in the CPU.
It's on the bus. Okay, then the IMU you will have to do the lookups. At some point, you have to do the 4K mappings.
Yeah, it's pretty good at it.
Yeah, so
okay. If you're talking about moving a contiguous gigabyte, you're going from byte 0 to byte 1 gigabyte minus 1. Everybody knows how to prefetch the translations for that. So you're ahead of you. So a scatter gather would be a different story, but straight through, the IMU wouldn't care. It wouldn't be your bottleneck.
But it's not straight through because the IMU is there and it takes care of the 4K chunks.
In the IOVA space, you're contiguous straight through.
Yeah, okay, the IMU will do prefetch and all the other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Try it.
Well, I've tried it as far as I know. I'm not quite sure that I know the details of your approach right now, but as far as I know, we had performance degradation with those things as well, and so we moved on to the MMU management on the devices because that one was faster. Yeah.
Even if you use IOMMU, you still have the same problem. IOMMU again has TLB, and that TLB is not unlimited, so you'll pay penalty anywhere. You pay
Is the transfer model I just go from byte 0 to byte gigabyte, or am I doing random access? Because it's a big difference. I need a one-entry TLB to support going from the start to the end. I don't need any more entries. I never reuse a TLB entry once I'm finished moving through. If I move through a 4K TLB entry, I've copied everything, then I move to the next one. I don't really need a large TLB at all.
I didn't follow.
Well, there's no locality there.
I'm not quite sure that we're talking about the same things here. We're talking about basically we're having 4 kilobyte pages, and we have a large series of these 4 kilobyte pages. We're trying to do IO on it, right?
You try to what?
We have a large set. Let's say we have 100,000 of these 4K pages. We're trying to do IO on it.
Right.
And you're saying that the IO MMU does it in a linear way.
So what it does, at the beginning of time, you'll pin your million 4K pages and you'll pay for that.
Yes.
But then you've set it up, and presumably set up doesn't cost you as much in cost per time as it does to do transfers later on. So once it's set up, the device sees a contiguous IOVA range from 0 to gigabyte. The user sees a contiguous IOVA range from...
Because the IMU does the fetches in the background of the million page structs, and you set it up beforehand, costs probably 10 seconds to do that, and then you think that's performant.
I think that's not necessarily a problem.
Okay. But so if you had a large contiguous segment, you can just start the transfer.
What's that?
I mean, if you had a large contiguous segment, you can just tell the device, start the transfer here and push it through.
I imagine there's a setup phase and a go-do-it phase, and hopefully the go-do-it phase is more frequent than the setup phase.
Yeah, okay.
So your setup phase amortizes. You can talk about optimizing.
Yeah, okay, so you're going to write the same memory segment again and again.
Are you?
Well, that's if you want to have one-time setup and multiple executions, then you must set it up once, and then they have the same memory area, and you go over it multiple times.
I'm asking, is that the model that you care about?
I don't know. There may be certain use cases where we care about that, and maybe that maybe we can use it. And that's it's also already covered in the existing cases. You can set up a memory region, and therefore it will build the proper scatter gather list for that.
So in your timing, is the mapping part of the runtime cost that you measure, or do you not count the cost of the setup in your measurement?
Well, when you do first-time initialization, I mean, when you're using MMAP, so it's first time and single time. You don't need to multiplex each and every time that you do the transfers.
Right. So your graph of performance didn't include the setup cost?
My graph performance didn't what?
Include the setup cost.
The setup cost is very easy since the system was clean on boot time, and it doesn't really matter. Once you set up a contiguous memory area, you can do as many transfers as you want.
Right. So you set even it up, then you start the timer. And
even
the
if allocated, even if the 12-validation phase took, let's say, 1 whole minute, if you do transfers of 1 day or 2 day, it doesn't really matter.
We agree here.
Yes, we said that before. I think if you can set up the map and you can run this same IO operation again and again, certainly you can do this. Yeah, but you're still jumping from one case segment to another, and there's issues that could be there with multiple other hardware devices.
I think the issue is if you're setting up a large MMAP at the beginning of time, you're probably going to have a random access workload. And in that case, the linearity argument from the IOMU doesn't save you. And in the other case, if you're doing a storage workload, you're very, very latency sensitive now, especially with NVMe over fabrics. The latency to set up the IOMMU is far too high. It far exceeds the overheads of doing the scatter gather at the device.
Sure. But I think there's a next year's Linux Plumber conference on how to optimize the MMU allocator because it's not trying to fix that right now.
Okay, we've been had that for 10 years now. Everybody, every year, somebody else tries to optimize the IMMU and the 4K scatter-gather symbols a bit more on that way, a bit more on that way. These are all small incremental changes, and it don't really address the fundamental scaling issues that we have.
There was a big change with the magazine allocator in, what, 4.10, 4.11? There's a big change with the magazine allocator in the Intel IMMU,
okay.
Which York pulled into the AMD IMMU.
Okay.
So that should be a big difference in the allocation.
Yeah, okay. I'm a bit deaf on that one since for years I have seen all those incremental changes and I just ignored it.
Nobody
optimized
the page table creation yet.
What?
Sure. But it doesn't need a gigabyte huge page. You'll do great with the 2 meg page. You know, if they want lots of pages, you get the three sizes on Intel and you get weirder sizes on AMD. You get weirder sizes on AMD and you get the three sizes on Intel.
Okay. Any other questions? All right.
So, this is a very ignorant question, but is it possible to defragment the memory of a process at runtime? And wouldn't it be like a way to try to solve fragmentation? Or
yes.
Is it possible?
Yes, it's possible. There's already a K-compact D that's used to reconstruct huge pages after the system was fragmented in a bit. The problem is that not all pages can be moved. There are these immovable pages around. And as the system runtime increases, the amount of these unmovable pages also increases. And at some point, it is no longer possible to do enough compactification to get a huge page. And as the time progresses, the fragmentation of the system increases until you can no longer even get intermediate sizes. And we've tried to restrict ourselves to only manage 4 kilobyte and huge page size items so that we don't have too many sizes that cause the fragmentation to increase more rapidly. So one could, actually one of the ideas that I had that was maybe good is K-compact D could be modified to not only construct huge pages but also linearize the physical contiguity of virtual mapping. So if you have a virtual address, it would just go in there and make sure that the pages are all in sequence. That would actually optimize a lot of these things. Because at that point, also, the I/O subsystem is able to recognize you're doing an I/O request now on 5 4K pages, and the 5 4K pages are all contiguous. In that case, the I/O subsystem can optimize it to put it into one scatter-gather entry. It does that already. So if you have 2 meg pages, it recognizes, okay, there's 500 4K pages. This is just one entry. So if we had this contiguity, the I/O subsystem would take advantage of it and reduce the scatter-gather list and give you full performance.
Okay.
There was another question back there. Behind you.
I have two questions. So if the user allocated contiguous memory, so where the kernel eventually fragmented, for example, how do you avoid a swap or page migration?
So the kernel allocated contiguous?
So if the user allocated the contiguous memory, so where the kernel eventually fragmented
The user doesn't have any chance right now to indicate that you want a contiguous allocation. How would the user do this?
I mean, add the contiguous the flag.
If the contiguous flag would be there, okay, and the user gets contiguous memory, okay, well, then what?
Then the kernel can fragment it because of the swap or page
yes.
migration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could do that, yes. That's why we have to pin the memory or make sure that...
So it implies the IMLOC semantics.
It implies that there's some measure in place that the kernel makes sure that this contiguous memory is not destroyed later.
Okay, second question is, so if we have several entry in the scattergarning table,
yeah.
So that means the request size is big.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the device can't handle the big request mm-hmm. Faster. So, why is matter?
So you have an I/O request and you don't have enough space in the scatter gather list. In that case, the I/O requests are split into two halves. You run the first request first, and then the second, which increases the latency and the time it takes for the whole request. Was that the question you asked?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know the you know if the request size is big, the you know that the data transfer then takes time. It probably takes most of the time of the command.
Well, the devices are extremely fast these days. They can transfer gigabytes of data per second into memory. Uh-huh. The problem is that the composition and the management of the scatter gatherers take an extraordinary amount of mind. At some point, the processing time for the scatter gatherers dominates the transfer speed. And therefore, the overall data rate you can accomplish through the devices is limited.
Okay.
So we run some tests, a power system against an Intel system, with a device that had, I think, 6 gigabytes per second transfer speed. We were only able to get about 2 on Intel. We can got the full speed on power because it had 64K page size. And therefore, the effort on managing these 4K states, the number of page struct entries that had to be managed was significantly reduced.
Yeah, I like this idea of the map contig concept, but I wanted just to table that for a second and go back to the CMA API. And I think we were the ones who was having this conversation a few days ago, where I mentioned I had essentially written a module to do this translation for me. It essentially allocated the memory up front requested from the CMA subsystem, and then later on my device or my application could come in and memory map my character device and then open up those pages to user space. What is the drawback from, and this was working actually on my x86 system, so taking that idea and sort of making it a generic concept for a interface into that any application could use as an interface. Is that what you were referring to with a user space API as a CMA?
It could work, as I mentioned in the last slide. It's one of the suggestions or one of the solutions. But the downside to your solution, the downside to your existing solution is that you are the only user of the memory you allocated. So any other application couldn't use this memory. And once again, mm-hmm. it's kind of reserve pool for a single application. Mm-hmm. And what you're trying to offer is a generic solution for all the application on the same machine, not a single application.
Sure, yeah. So I guess the idea would be to take that concept and put it into a generic interface through which any application could access. And one thing I did like about the CMA interface when I was looking through it, I think at one point there was this notion of CMA areas and the ability to sort of constrain which applications allocated certain amounts of memory or who could allocate certain amounts of memory.
Not true. Currently, the CMA subsystem allows for any marked pages in a way that any application could use it if the system is out of memory. So it's not... The issue is that if there is sufficient number of applications using all the memory in the system, you are not able to allocate any contiguous memory since the CMA pool is already being used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was this fear of if we had this map contig flag, if many applications started using this idea, then we could essentially start to run out of space in our contiguous areas.
Yeah, the same idea was. So I'm not saying that your idea is not good. It's nothing to do as additional suggestions, but I'm currently trying to suggest a new approach, the CMA's existing approach.
I think we're way over time now. So thank you all for coming. We'll be around here to answer additional questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you very much.